This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. We'll talk about a great win that we've had this hour. A good win. A win that's in the process, I'll put it that way. We're going to open up talking about more about the lies. It's going to be about the media, but about the lies they tell. Sean Spicer is going to join us about a half hour from now. Always interested in his political takes, emails, moving, so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, here's the headline. TV news assaults the second Trump administration with 92% negative coverage. That's from Newsbusters. Now, the media being on the left is not some groundbreaking concept that you and I need to discuss right now. You already know that. That's old. Why, though? Why are they this way? You know what? Let's focus on the Biden portion of it, because that'll be pretty revealing. The Biden portion. Do you remember this guy who was president for 4 years?
Making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
That was a guy, he was president for 4 years. And of course, you remember how the media covered it.
President Biden's decline and its cover up by the people around him is a reminder that every White House, regardless of party, is capable of deception.
Sorry, this is the White House Correspondents' Dinner. They're trying to explain how they covered him.
But being truth,
why they covered for him.
Tellers also means telling the truth about ourselves. We, myself included, missed a lot of this story. And some people trust.
You know, we'll stop for a moment. I'll let him continue on. We missed a lot of this story. That's the part I want to focus on here. Because they're trying to do something. Chuck Todd, one of these commie media people, he's out there doing the same kind of thing.
This is not a media failure. This is a failure of the Democratic Party. And I just sort of the virtue signaling that some people have done to try to say that the media missed this story. They didn't miss this story. So I, you know, it's not like this. This isn't WMDs, where the White House worked with the mainstream media to manufacture a story that did not exist. That was a press failure. This was not that failure. This is an attempt by some to virtue signal, and it's this horrible sort of pitting different news organizations against each other, when ultimately the people at fault are Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Jill Biden, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, every elected member of Congress.
Let's talk about fallback lies, if you will. Fallback positions, okay? We've had this talk about different battles and wars before, but it's important, if you're on a military campaign of some kind, it's important to have a fallback position if you are dug in on the defensive somewhere. Now, you don't want to plan for a retreat. That's not what I'm saying. But you should plan on, what if we are attacked? What if this section happens to be overrun? Where do we fall back to? A fallback position. Let's fall back here, leave this trench, get back to this bunker. Once we get to this bunker, we can reorganize, we can defend ourselves. It's a fallback position. Communists love fallback lies. They love them. They live for them. And the media is trying really hard to tell you one now about what happened with Joe Biden. Because the reality of what happened is very obvious to you. The American media believes it's their job to promote Democrats and destroy Republicans. And so they were fully aware that Joe Biden was not a fully functional adult. They were so aware that they received handouts from the White House, the same ones they handed Joe Biden. They knew the questions. They had to submit their questions ahead of time, and they knew he'd been given a cheat sheet to call on them with the questions. They knew it all. They knew. They covered it up because they're communist. He was a communist, and they are promoting his revolution. That's why they covered it up. That's why you knew about it, and they pretended not to. You have eyes and ears. You could see the decline. But you see, here's the problem for the media, for the communists in the media. What do you do about that now? They study poll numbers just like politicians do. They study ratings, approval ratings, all these things. What the American media knows now, they know it, is that after they got done covering up for Joe Biden, even more people left. They hemorrhaged viewers. They hemorrhaged listeners. The American people, this goes beyond you and me, the American people are angry at the media for covering it up. Well, what do you do about that if you're in the media? Well, here's what you can't do. You can't pretend like it didn't happen because everyone watched it happen. So you need a fallback lie. That's what you need. You need a way to explain away your bad behavior. For instance, let's say on the way home tonight, I want to get just stupid drunk. I want to stop at the bar and I want to drink a bunch. And then I'm going to drive home irresponsibly. And I want to show up at the house hammered. And let's say I do that. I show up just blasted. No, I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. But I show up just blasted. Shots, everything else. I walk in the door. Ob takes one look at me and she knows, oh gosh. And then she's angry at me. You what? Did you drink during the week and you drove home? What are you? You're drunk now in front of the kids? I can't. So she's angry at me. Now, here's what I can't do in that moment. What I can't do is sober up. I can't pretend to not be drunk. I can't pretend as if I didn't drink. These things won't work. Okay, these things will not work. Those are lies that don't work. What I need in that moment is a fallback lie. So what do I do? Well, listen, you don't understand. Yes, I'm hammered. Of course I'm hammered. But my buddy, Tom, called me when I was on the way home. His wife is leaving him. He's very sad. He asked if I'd meet him at the bar. We could have a couple beers and I could give him some advice about things. And that's why I stopped. Now, what did I just do there? Did I deny being drunk? Did I deny the drinking or anything like that? No, I found a fallback lie to try to fade the heat. To try to make sure she wasn't as angry. Couldn't even be as angry. How could she be mad at me about that? I'm trying to help Tom out. Should I not have helped Tom out? That's what the American media is doing when they feed you this line of crap.
President Biden's decline and its cover-up by the people around him is a reminder that every White House, regardless of party, is capable of deception. But being truth tellers also means telling the truth about ourselves. We, myself included, missed a lot of this story.
They didn't miss anything. It wasn't the White House lies. They didn't miss it. They didn't get it wrong. They weren't deceived. They joined in on the lie. They joined in willingly. And for 4 years, the United States of America had a president who couldn't walk into meetings with other world leaders and have a conversation because the American media is so sick, communist, and evil. They chose to cover up for the fact that Joe Biden was no longer a functional adult. And they covered up for that. They covered up that fact because exposing that fact would hurt the communist revolution. And that is what they will never, ever, ever do. Now they're exposed. Now you're angry about it. Even the normies are angry about it. And so they have to come up with something. There has to be some sort of an explanation for things. You could see it with your own two eyes. So could they. The difference was they covered it up. You're angry about it. And now they need a fallback lie. And the fallback lie is we were misled. It's just like we talked about last hour when it comes to violent crime. The fallback lie is, well, he's just soft on crime. That's just a soft on crime DA. He just has a very wrong view of crime and justice. He just believes in being soft on crime. If you've ever said that word, you push the fallback lie. Did you know that? He's not soft on crime. He's pro-crime. He wants crime. The American media didn't miss the Biden story. They were part of it. They were the critical element of it. Now, they need a fallback lie. The fallback lie is, we were misled. Not selling that here. Let's do some emails, and then we'll talk about something good. Let's talk about your dog. I actually talked to Ob this morning, because Fred's 4 years old. And I said, you know, we probably only have him for 5 or 6 more years. Maybe 7. And it kind of hit her. It hit me too. We just don't have him for long enough, do we? And it's crazy to think about it. That's why we sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food. It is a nice byproduct that it fixed his digestive issues. The best part of it is, look, we can tell by his health, by how his coat looks, by he doesn't get ear infections anymore. Rough greens is the only chance your dog has at getting real nutrition and living longer. Did you know 50% of the dogs that live to more than 10 die of cancer? 50%. What if we did something about that now? Free jumpstart trial bag at roughgreens.com/Jesse. That's roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Sean Spicer will be here in about 10 minutes from now, giving us a little political perspective on the Trump first 100 days. I'm going to ask him about the tariff stuff and everything else under the sun. But let's do some emails. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Dear Jesse Kelly Show people, I'm 68 years old. And I got to say, after listening to your show over the past year, I know much more about communism today than I ever did in my life. I appreciate your steady trickle of education about communism and easy-to-understand language. I also appreciate you calling it out when you see it. I don't think most people understand the threat against the USA, and it's from within. I also believe most of the ordinary people promoting communism realize what they're doing. Well, do they realize what they're doing? Let's talk about that. Some do, some don't. For instance, there are trained communists in leadership positions all across the globe, all across America, for sure. We have them on camera admitting we're trained Marxists, we're trained in Marxism. These people are not shy about it. The Obama White House was full of them. They put Chairman Mao decorations on the White House Christmas tree, admitted communists. But that's not all of them, you see. Because again, what the communist does in his search of destruction and power, that's really what it's all about, but in his search of destruction is he finds useful idiots. He finds malcontents who want to break things, who want to destroy things. They don't have to be committed communists. They just have to be angry and bitter about something, angry and bitter enough to want to destroy it. And the Soviet Union, all the people who took part in the communist revolution, do you think all those Soviets, do you think they had all read Marx? Think they were all well-versed on Engels and Marx and all those other things? All of them? Really? No. They were angry factory workers. They were communists. They were angry about wages or conditions or things like that. Malcontents. That's what communism is. It's a religion of the malcontent. Here in America, who are our communists? That would be our Democrats. What is the coalition of the Democrat Party? It's a coalition of malcontents. It's a very loose, that's why it doesn't fit together well. It's a very loose coalition of people. They don't seem related at all. but it's a coalition of malcontents. They're angry about something or at somebody specific, not necessarily making them communists, you see. I brought up the climate change nutters earlier. Is Jane Goodall, is she really a communist?
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
Let's take her at her word right there. Hey, she just wants to save the planet and just thinks we need fewer people here. Let's say she's being honest, and maybe she is. The communist hears that woman talk and he says, I can use that woman. I can use her sick belief system to destroy some of the things I want destroyed. When Al Sharpton, when his types speak, when they do the whole black people are oppressed thing, America's evil, America's this, whitey, kill whitey, all that crap. Are all these people trained communists? No. They're angry. And America's Democrat Party looks at them and says, I can use that anger at the system, at America, at white people. I can use that for my purposes. All the LGBTQ Air Force types, all of them. Why is it such a natural fit that they end up in the Democrat Party? Why is that such a natural fit with so many? Not all, I don't mean all, but so many of them. Why is it a natural fit? Angry, and wants to take it out on somebody. Along come the Democrats and say, hey, you know what? I don't like that church either. Vote for me. We'll send the FBI in there. We'll smash them for you. It's a recruitment drive, a religion of the malcontent. And the more malcontents you have, the better your recruiting numbers will be. It would be like me. Let's say I'm a football coach and there's a kid in the school who's a weight room junkie. That's all he wants to do is work out. He wants new, better workouts. I want a gym. I want to get big. I want to get strong. I want to get fast. That's what he wants to do. And so I go to the kid and I say, hey, why don't you join the football team? It's an outlet. You want workouts? I've got workouts for you. Join the football team. What did I just do? I took his motivation and I knew I could use his motivation to make my football team better. So I took the workout guy. I provided him with the workouts. He provides my football team with somebody big, strong, fast who wants to work out. When a communist like, we'll just make it Joe Biden, although he's so old, it's a bad example, but we'll make it about Joe Biden. When Joe Biden looks out and sees somebody angry, let's say it's a feminist. Feminist is an easy one. That woman may not have ever read Marx. She may know nothing about communist theory or economics or anything like that, but she knows she's mad. She knows she hates men. She knows she's angry about this and angry about that. Joe Biden doesn't need her to read a book on Marx. He just needs to use her anger. Hey, I think men suck too. You vote for me and I'll teach men a lesson. Do you want to teach men a lesson? Vote for me. Marrying your anger, your bitterness with my purpose. That's what communists do. Anyway. Let's talk to Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer worked for Trump. What's he think about the first 100 days? What's he think about all this tariff stuff? We'll do that. And then we'll talk about something good we can feel good about. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Tuesday, and I cannot wait to talk to Sean Spicer about a couple things. Joining me now, my friend Sean Spicer of the wonderful Sean Spicer Show. You need to go subscribe on YouTube. You'll be so much smarter than all your political friends, and then you can rub it in their faces. I steal what Sean says all the time and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Hey, Sean, how does the United States Navy, you're a Navy man, how does the Navy lose a $60 million jet?
Oh. Because you attach it to a forklift that falls off with the front of it attached to it. So we'll see. I'm sure that doesn't go on. You know, there will be, even you Marines know that there's a little bit of an after-action report on something like that.
Yeah, somebody's going to pay for that. I'll tell you that. They're going to pay with pain for that. All right. let's talk tariffs, Trump Organization, first 100 days. We wake up this morning and find out Amazon slapping a tariff notification. Then Trump says he talked to Bezos. They're dropping it. We have tariffs on these things, but the tariffs are dropped. We have tariffs on this, but then the tariffs are dropped. What is happening with all this, Sean? Where are we going?
Well, look, can I just, this is what I think is missing in this discussion, Jesse. The easy, look, for all the talk about President Trump and how he's the master marketer, which I think he is, if Trump was concerned about himself or ratings, personal poll numbers, the easy thing to do is nothing on government efficiency, on tariffs, because, heck, let's be honest, politicians on both sides of the aisle have kicked the can down the road, made excuses why we couldn't act. But what President Trump did was take this fight mentality and said, you know what, we've gotten ripped off for too long. He's something he's talked about since the 1980s with respect to Japan, and said, I'm willing to spend my political capital to get a better deal for the United States. But what people forget is that for a guy who's obsessed with the news, who understands how to market things, if you were looking to just take care of yourself in a very selfish way and say, how do I promote my personal poll numbers and keep my ratings high? You keep doing simple stuff and you don't tackle the big issues. But he chose to use this second term to do big, bold things that would result in a better and stronger America. I mean, like I said, I just everyone's whining about tariffs, and I get it. I have a 401k. Probably you even do, right? I mean, this idea that you think he doesn't watch the news and see what's going on, it's insane. He knows exactly what's happening. But if this was easy, if it creating fairness for other countries that are ripping us off with 30, 50, 100% tariffs in the case of India, then he could just keep kicking the can down the road and say, keep ripping us off. We'll let our farmers and ranchers and service providers and manufacturers suck it up for another presidential term. And I think that people keep forgetting that, like, the easy thing is what everybody has defaulted to. And I think the thing that was fascinating to me is Frank Luntz, who's no big Trump supporter, had this focus group the other day, and I had it on my show last night. And he had like 20 people on there. And he said, how many of you have been affected by the tariffs? And they all said yes. And he said, so how many of you are pissed what Trump did? Not one. They said, hey, we get it. This isn't going to be easy. He's fighting for this country. And, you know, yeah, I'm not, you know. But the point was is that people who get it, get it. I think the media is freaking out. But because I think mostly because no normal politician is willing to do the big, bold, strong things that he's been willing to do. And they're not used to it. They're like, what is this idea of promising people something and keeping your word for it? This morning, the White House comms team sent me a 23-page document of the things that President Trump had promised the American people and what he had been doing to fulfill them. Everything from kicking men out of women's sports to ending DEI to tariffs to securing the border. But it's 23 pages long. And I started laughing, and I was talking to some of my former colleagues at the White House, and I said, you know what, guys? It's funny. I mean, you're never going to keep up with Trump, but I couldn't believe how many of the things that were in this document that had happened over the past 100 days that I've already forgotten, that it's like we just pocket the wins in some of these cases. So I think we're just not used to somebody moving this quickly. And I don't know. I think that we've got to keep stuff in context. If you want, I mean, look, he's willing to take on the war in Ukraine and Russia. Biden sat by, allowed this thing to happen, and did nothing to stop it for 4 years. It's not easy to do, you know, big, bold things, and he's willing to take on things. And I think people have got to forget that it's not easy to do the right things, to fight for things in the country. But we've had, what, $700 billion of investment come to the U.S., Apple, Honda, Hyundai, Taiwan Semiconductors, all start talking about reinvesting in America. That didn't just happen by accident. It happened because of his leadership and his policies. And we as a country and as a workforce are going to benefit from it. And I think sometimes people just keep pocketing these wins, like somehow, it just happened out of thin air.
Speaking with Sean Spicer of the Sean Spicer Show. Sean, let's switch parties here, shall we? Where are the Democrats going to go? Everyone can see it's an internal civil war between the older guard, the ones who kind of built the Democrat coalition, and the younger, much more militant communist guard who want to blow up the coalition. But it doesn't necessarily look to me from the outside looking in like the old guard is winning this little civil war. Where are they going?
So I will tell you this. As you know, like, I'm a very open with my politics. I'm a Trump supporter. I you know, was at the RNC for 6 years. But so everyone, you know, take what I say with a grain of salt when it comes to this, but I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think you could have the most ardent Democrat on and saying, what do you guys support, believe right now? What are you fighting for? We know you hate Trump. What is it that the message that you're giving? They are having a problem. They don't have a leader right now. Gavin Newsom tried to do the bro thing with the podcast. J.B. Pritzker tried to be the angry man the other day, the governor of Illinois. I don't think that they are literally like the three little bears trying to sip different, you know, temperatures of porridge, figuring out what one is just right, and there's not one there for them. They don't have a person that's leading this effort, and they don't have a message. What are they? I mean, everything that they said, we're not for illegal immigration, although they are, but we just don't like how Trump is doing it. We are for the tariffs, but we just don't like how he's doing it. So they basically agree with everything Trump's doing. They just don't like the style. And that's not a winning message. I mean, it really isn't. It's not, you don't go, hey guys, I really love everything you're doing. I just don't like how you're doing it. And that's how I want to, I mean, it just, and they don't have any credibility.
Sean, how do they get their coalition back? Because this is what I want to avoid. How do they get it back?
But stop, Jesse, and think about what you just said. Their coalition. What was the Democratic coalition heading into this election, heading into the election before that and the one before that? It's a loose-knit patchwork of marginalized coalitions. It's like right-handed gay people that can't knit. It's, you know, there's not a through line. If you're marginalized, if you don't like your pronouns, then you should be a Democrat. But think about it. They've lost the working men and women of America. They don't have the union support that they used to have. They've stopped just being a minority party because you saw President Trump attract a number of you know, young blacks, Hispanics. They've lost the ability to just even represent the minorities. They are truly a niche coalition of random, you know, upset, pissed off minority. When I say minority, I'm not talking like skin color. It's just, you know, niche groups of small, angry elements of different other groups that are pissed off. But they don't represent anything anymore. For a while, when I grew up in politics, they represented the working men and women of America. They represented black Americans, and they tried to represent Hispanic Americans. And all of that has just gotten chipped away at. And so I think the problem is they don't know who they represent anymore. There is no patchwork of people anymore. They used to, you know, have a good chunk of the Catholic faith, and we saw President Trump do very well. I mean, so they don't know who they are or what they represent. They basically are going out and saying, if you're pissed off, like, we're for you. We can't tell you what we'll do for you, but we'll just allow you, like, it's almost like we'll give you a crying room. You know, that's the extent of what the party is now. It's a massive crying room. But they can't tell you what they're actually for.
He is Sean Spicer of the wonderful Sean Spicer Show. If you want to get a whole lot smarter, Sean, thank you, my brother, for coming on. I appreciate
you. You bet. Appreciate that.
He's sharp, man. Always sharp. I wonder if he uses ZipRecruiter. I bet he does. I bet he does. Because you know Sean's going to have to hire people. And you know a guy like that's not going to want to waste time setting up an interview. They don't show up. I bet you Sean's already tapped into Zip Intro. I should have asked him about it. You know what Zip Intro is, right? It's essentially speed dating for your next potential employee. Instead of going through all the headache and the scheduling, and what about just back-to-back video calls? Hey, let's do a quick 5-minute video call. Get to know you. Are you hireable or are you like Chris? Let's do it. ZipRecruiter does this. Zip Intro, they give it to you for free. You can try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Stop stressing about how to replace that loser at work you need to replace. Stop stressing about hiring that new employee. Where do I find him? They're all at ZipRecruiter. It's number one for a reason. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, we still have more than an hour left. There's still another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. So take heart. I was about to say take pride in that. I don't know that you could take pride in it. What, Chris? It's not that it makes any sense. You want to feel good about something? Here's something you can actually take pride in. Corporate sponsors are backing away from LGBTQ+ pride organizations. This is a story, it's a very good one, from CNBC. Now, I don't need to go into the story. You get the idea. Here's how it has worked for a long, long, long time, all right? The conquest of the corporate world. In fact, Chris, grab that Klaus Schwab clip from last week. The conquest of the corporate world by communists was something that was done very purposely, because the communists looked at all the wealth, all the massive reach of the corporate world, and they saw that the corporate world was very apolitical, and they didn't like that because, again, communists only see power as something to be used on behalf of the revolution. So how do you go about changing that? Well, anyway, here was Klaus Schwab talking about shareholder capitalism. Remember, shareholder capitalism is what we have. That means the company only focuses on making money, not being political at all. He instead wants stakeholder capitalism. But stakeholder capitalism means the company actually focuses on people who don't even hold shares? That's weird. Why? Here he was.
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages, because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism.
Yeah, which, we got it. Notice he talked about the resources. That's what it's all about. But how do you do that? How do you take over the corporate world? I'm 43. How is it that for the first 20, 25 years of my life, no corporation made any political statement ever, and now they all do all the time? Well, two things happen. Two things. One, the university system stopped sending people who leaned left into the business world, and they started really, really training students to hate the country. They started sending committed communists into the business world. That's one. And by the way, in that business world, they went into HR first. If your company, no matter what its size is, if it has an HR department, a human resources department, I would be willing to bet you all the rice in China, your human resources department is occupied by a communist. Probably an angry, bitter, single, miserable woman who's destroying your company from within because she found a chokehold of power, seizing the hiring and firing process. Thus, she's essentially the filter for your company. Anyway, but that, setting that aside, that's one of the two things they did. The second thing they did to get the corporate world involved in all this is they started these organizations like the Human Rights Campaign. Very benign sounding, right? I mean, who is in all for human rights? The Human Rights Campaign, the HRC, it's known as. It's gigantic, hugely powerful. And here's what they do. They walk into, I'll make it Bank of America. This is just one example. They walk into Bank of America and they say, hey, we need your money. We not only need your money, we want you to send us $10 million because we have a bunch of LGBTQ parades we want to put on in small towns so we can get men to wave their penises in front of your son and daughter. We need your money. We want you to pay for that. We want you to sponsor it. We need you to stop hiring straight people and start filling up your company with gay people and trannies. Maybe you don't want to do these things, but if you don't do these things, well, that's going to come with a negative grade. You see, we're going to grade you. And maybe you think that grade is meaningless, but see, we already infiltrated the large financial institutions. If you want any access to capital and the things you need to keep running, you're going to need a really, really, really good grade from us. And if you don't have a good grade from us, if you're A that you could get, you could have an A. If your A turns into something like a C or a D, yeah, you're not going to be able to get that capital you need to expand in that other country. So anyway, tell me again how many gays you're going to hire next year with your company. Thank you, B of A. Appreciate you. And that is exactly how it has worked for a long time. It's essentially a gay extortion racket. But it's more than, I don't mean to make it just gay. It's every single different communist group. They do the climate nutters do the same thing. The gun people, the anti-gun people do the same thing. Hey, you're not gonna finance any gun shops, right? And they're not gonna be. They all do the same thing. They walked into corporate America with a gun, and they said, "Hey, you can sign on the dotted line, or you know what happens from here." Just like the movie The Godfather. What this did was it put the corporate world in a bit of a bind. They didn't want to necessarily get political, but they are being threatened. And so what happened was we failed. In this exact moment, this is, I would say, 15, 20 years ago, but we on the right failed, myself included, very much myself included. Here's what we didn't do. Let's say I'm CEO of Bank of America, and I just had this meeting with the mafia gay group. I have to make a decision. Well, why wouldn't I just give them $10 million if I don't have anything moral against it? Hey, they're threatening me. I might get hurt. Why not just do it? Is there any disincentive for me to do it? And you know what they did? They looked at us. They looked at you and me, the right. And they said, is that guy going to put his money where his morals are? If I do this, is he going to take away his business? Is he going to protest? Is he going to demand his politicians crack down on me? And you know what he heard from the right over and over again? We don't boycott, guys. We're better than that. That's what they do. And you know what he heard? Hey, I'll shell out my $10 million in gay protection money risk-free. I'll finish up this thought. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.